Chair, I have a situation I have to handle, a family matter. I'm going to need about 10 minutes to resolve that issue, and then I can join the call back, but I need 10 minutes.
Okay. All right, great.
My apologies. I'll be right back on the call in 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. Okay, so so the next item was the setting the next regular meeting date, which we did last week, and that was March 11th, right? Want to reiterate that?
Yes. April 11th.
I'm sorry. Need a time machine to go to March 11th, April 11th. Okay. Thank you. And then the next thing we're going to do is the committees and the task forces. Do I have a report from the affiliates task force?
Yes, this is Robin.
Okay. Adriana, 5 minutes for this item. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, we haven't met as a task force. I sent out an email, and I had very little response to meet. However, we have been discussing affiliates in the strategic planning at length, and then there's been a lot of back and forth with Ursula providing more financial information, budgets, and so forth. And then this last week, we had a very good exchange with Grace Aaron, Tom Voorhees, with Larry Danker, and the other two NEDA staff members, trying to clarify what the differences were between being an independent unit and being just a department of the national office, and basically also understanding exactly how the software all interacts. Apparently, a lot of stations are using old versions of Great Plains software, which is now a Microsoft product, while NEDA uses something it's a SAID product. It's a much bigger, more expensive software. But the bottom line was that it will cost about $6,500 for NEDA to track all the expenses in the affiliates, whether it's independent as a separate unit or whether it's a part of the national office. Basically, they had no problem with Ursula's bookkeeper staying, doing the day-to-day bookkeeping, as long as the invoices are scanned and sent to NEDA so that they have a tracking and can issue the checks for any invoices. It also was clarified that there is a separate checking account already for affiliates. There's also a separate credit card, so nothing new has to be established to make it a unit. So we sort of slowly moving forward in trying to clarify a lot of these issues, and Maxie has been meeting at different times with Ursula, as far as I know. So slowly working to a resolution of how this is going to operate. I think we'll have another strategic planning meeting. Maybe we'll bring some things up next week on that to try to get further along on that. That's all I have for now. I'll answer any questions if there are any.
Adriana, anyone else? Robin, questions for Robin?
Goodman.
Dan, okay. Anyone else? Okay, Adriana, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I want to know when you just mentioned that part of the conversations were with within the strategic planning. I'm still, I don't understand, because then you said something about you have a good conversation with Grace Aaron and other people, and I don't understand when that happened and what kind of meeting was that. Is another part of the special meetings that we don't know?
This was just an email exchange after Ursula sent her budget and the actuals from, well, her financial report from 2018, and Larry responded to that, and we asked some questions about how it all worked to clarify what was going on. So there was no telephone conversation. It was just an email exchange back and forth.
I understand, but my question, you are telling us that she sent a budget. To whom? because I'm in the PNB. I don't know. I was waiting for the affiliate task force and didn't happen. And I don't know how can we get that information. Who else have that information and why the PNB doesn't have it?
I believe she did send it to PNB. I have to go back and dig through the emails to be sure.
No, she didn't.
Well, I'll have to go back and find out. It wasn't.
No, I believe this is information that was requested by the strategic planning committee members, and that's probably why it didn't. It probably went. Did it go to the strategic planning committee members at least?
I think that's correct. I think that's correct. So it resulted from that exchange.
It means that all that information, the people from the strategic planning have all that you said, even the budget from Ursula.
Yes. But we were still trying to clear before we would bring it back to the national board. We needed to clarify more things. So it'll come back to the national board at a later time.
I think maybe also Maxie will probably touch on it in his report.
Sure.
We can ask him about it then. Okay. And okay, Jan, you had a question for Robin?
I just wanted to say that I'm really happy that you and Gary are taking the bull by the horns and actually moving on the affiliates task force, and I'm interested in participating in it. And I do just note for everybody's edification that Robin did send out a note to everyone, including the PNB, about wanting to revive the affiliate task force on February 7th. So it slipped by my notice, and it probably slipped by a lot of other people's notice. But just so
yes,
we know.
Well,
so I'm going to
Robin responding. There's just so much email that people miss it, but
don't feel that it was actually lack of interest. It was just probably oversight.
At least, Alex,
on my part. Thank you,
Madam Chair. Time.
Alex,
we passed
okay,
30 seconds.
We need a motion to extend this item. If we want,
yeah,
to
William, extend for 5 minutes.
Okay, is there a second?
Then I want to be on a stack as well.
Yeah,
is there
a second
extend the affiliate? Okay, any objection? Okay, the affiliate task force report and Q&A is extended for 5 minutes. Go ahead, William.
I was asked to be on a stack first.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex. Go ahead.
Strategic Planning Committee's interest in the affiliates issue dates back several months when we passed the motion to make the affiliates a separate business unit, and that was subsequently sent to the full board, and the full board approved that. However, we've since learned that there are certain implications in making the affiliates task force a separate business unit that we hadn't thought through completely, so we've been kind of revisiting the issue on the Strategic Planning Committee and working through what some of those implications are. And I really want to thank Robin and Gary for taking the bull by the horns on this issue, and I think we're making a lot of progress, and hopefully we'll be in a position for the Strategic Planning Committee to review the issue one more time and then send it back to the full board. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, William, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I was getting confused. I thought this was the strategic planning report. There was so much talk about strategic planning. I hear now it's really affiliates. Sorry about that, but I do have a question. If and I don't remember, if it was approved that affiliates becomes a separate unit, that then they would be doing their own budget, and why would they be sending their information to strategic planning And if they're not a unit yet officially and it's not functioning that way, then all their budgetary information should be going and be part going to and be part of the national office information. Thank you.
Robin, just to respond, basically,
okay,
a lot of the question about it being a separate unit involves the finances, and the strategic planning needed to understand how the finances worked within the affiliates. And so all that information had to be worked on. And then there also had to be a discussion of how the unit would interact with NITA, either as a department or as a separate unit. So all those things had to be worked out, and that's why the budget was useful to see, because it showed, you know, what the difference would be, what the actual profit of the unit is. So all those things had to get discussed, and we've been trying to work through it. And again, I just so the board knows, I've been working setting up accounting systems for 30 years with nonprofits and small businesses. So, you know, I understand some of these things, and it's been very helpful to talk directly to NITA and basically understand how all these things interact. It's complicated for sure how the whole the different parts Pacifica communicate with each other, but I think we really are making progress on it. So that's all.
Chair, Max is back on the stack. Max is back in and ready to go when you're ready.
Okay, thanks. Almost done with this item. Was there another question for Robin?
Yes,
William,
I have
just
you.
A short follow-up. Never mind. Go
okay,
ahead.
William,
Go ahead, William.
Oh, okay. And I don't really remember, I'm sorry to say, if affiliates is now a separate unit, like, say, equivalent to a station or something, like PRA has its own budgeting.
It is not.
Shouldn't the Pacifica National Finance Committee be involved, or at least be advised? I mean, this is a budgetary issue for them.
We're not approving. This is Robin responding. All we were doing is trying to figure this all out, to figure out whether, particularly Maxie's objections were valid, and whether it could be a separate unit or not. So we're just trying to work out the logistics, and I think Maxie's been working with Ursula on that, and Nita's been working with Ursula. So we're not asking for any kind of approval of any budget at this time.
I thought Alex said that the motion to make it a unit was approved, and now it sounds like there's questions as to whether that's going to happen. Is that what you're saying?
Let me clarify. It has been approved at the PNB level. However, it's being rethought. There's been no action to make it a separate unit yet. Everyone is looking at maybe Maxie can speak to more what information he has about this. It's just they're looking at what it would take to do that and reconsidering whether or not we should do that. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Up for the extension.
I believe that it's not that the PNB didn't approve it because the executive director said that the ICFO himself and NITA were against. And now, because what William said is true, when it's a separate unit, the budget goes to the finance committee, not to the strategic plan. And it is let me finish, Madam Chair. It is part of the whole. Like it's not divided yet. That is part of the input called in the national office. I mean, the executive director to take care of that issue. Thank you.
So as Robin said, this is being discussed. The finances are being discussed in the strategic planning committee. You can listen to all the meetings. They're all on the stream. They were all on the stream. It's not a separate unit. The budget they're discussing is the current budget of the affiliate activities within the national budget, and they're just reviewing it. So we're time's up for this item, so we're going to go back to Maxie now. Go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, and I'll just include a couple of comments about this issue in my report, because I have been talking back and forth with Ursula, with the interim CFO, and a large part of the discussion centers around the question of whether the affiliates program is sustainable financially on its own. Right now, the national office does assume, significant, but some elements of their expenses. And we're asking for some verification of their projected revenue and some understanding of their revenues from last year, if I remember correctly, because there were some question marks, and perhaps others on the call can speak to that. But the bottom line is a lot of Ursula's concerns, and I think her motivation, is largely based on the fact that in the past she has felt that the executive director and the board have been neglectful of the affiliates program, that it's been an afterthought and has not been given due attention, considering the effort that they do to spread, if you will, the value of Pacifica to the rest of the affiliates and the larger community radio system. I think she has a valid point in that sense. And what I'm trying to express to her is that particularly if there's no real financial justification justification of it being its own unit, that I'm prepared to commit to devoting significant energy and resource to fortifying her unit, or her department, I should say, of the national office, so that it does have adequate support, not only from a technical standpoint and investment standpoint, and the usual resources in terms of accounting services, obviously with Netta on board, supporting beyond what she has with her own business manager, if you will. And so I've given her a proposal to consider. She's asked me to make some amendments to that. And so we're back and forth. The conversations have been fruitful. I know it's not in her mind exactly what she was looking for. She really is sort of hardcore wired towards becoming an independent unit. I still hold, and I think Netta does as well, that there's really very little value in them being a separate unit from a financial standpoint. And so we'll continue to go back and forth until we get resolution. But we are having fruitful conversation. I think we've gotten past sort of the anger part of it, and we're looking at how we can move this forward in a productive way. So I'll leave it at that for now on that aspect of things. And if someone wants to comment, I'll be glad to answer any questions on the back end of my report.
Lexi, do you want to take any questions at this point on what you've presented so far?
Jan Goodman?
Go ahead, Jan.
You mentioned something about WBAI and the license and John O'Mella, but I really didn't understand that whole little section. And I'm sure that you were speaking in a kind of a shorthand so people who knew what you were talking about knew what you were talking about, but I didn't have a clue. Maybe you could explain it a little more.
No, I can honestly tell you it's a little vague to me. My understanding is that with the WBAA's license, the actual license for the signal itself, had to be renewed. And so Melody Virtue was engaged to do just that. It required having the engineers go on place where the signal emanates from, and I guess verifying some coordinates with respect to how our signal is set up. And once that was done, they were able to report and verify that to Melody, and she submitted the material, and it's been approved. There was a moment of delay because there were some issues at the FCC for some reason. But once that was cleared, it was all set and done. So John O'Mella and Don Mussel can give more clarification as to exactly what this is. It's a little vague to me, but I think that's as good as I can do with an explanation.
Okay. All right. That, at least I have a clue about it now. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. And my apologies for not knowing more. It just
No, that's okay. And, you know, you can't know everything, but.
Well, I know. I see.
And we can't know everything, but anyway,
exactly.
At least I know what you know, sort of.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
So anyone have any questions about the affiliates program before I move on to the cost-cutting measures I had begun to discuss?
William, you had a question for some of these other things?
Adriana, too.
I have you on the staff.
Well, I think Maxie wants only affiliate stuff now. I have a question for later.
I have a question for the affiliate. Now.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Did we lose Adriana?
No. Can you maybe?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm saying is that.
Wait, now you're going in and out.
Uh-uh.
William,
you
I don't need
mute.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Much
now
so.
I can hear
you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. You were referring, Maxie saying something about the board and the executive director neglecting something. I want to remind everybody that in the last two, when we arrived last year, 17 and 18, when we had so many mistakes coming from the affiliate that we had problems no certifying people that have contracts, certifying people that didn't, giving the information to the affiliates and the dates that the affiliates need to fill up for being candidates to be directors, and that had nothing to do with the PMB or with the executive director. Have to do, obviously, the units have their own director, and we have 2 years in a row, terrible problems that the PMB need to solve, making exceptions because that comes from that unit. I don't believe that it's a fair characterization of the PMB and the executive director losing or not paying attention to the affiliates. And I was, during the whole last year, I was asking people and asking specifically the director of the affiliates to give me a time to convene the affiliate tax force, and never had a response.
Yeah, I can respond to that. Yeah, thank you for the question. What I'm relaying is Ursula's comments. It's not my own. This was her belief that the affiliates unit or department had been neglected. That it had not been given the proper support and attention for it to grow. And one of the reasons she wants to be a unit is that she can, in her mind, have a little bit more control over her budget to allocate it towards growth opportunities, et cetera. The counter, I think you made a great point, and that is one of the issues I have with the affiliates program is that it's a very, for lack of a better word, it's a rough version of a affiliate arrangement. There are several, I would say almost a quarter, I could be wrong on my numbers, but a quarter of the members don't pay dues at all. The different rates that stations pay is what determines that those rates is variables that I think are difficult to apply consistently. Some people pay as much as $7,000 a year, and some stations pay, in the hundreds. It's all over the place. Her membership constitutes, as I think you all know, a very diverse range of community stations, low-power FMs, urban centers, rural spaces, as well as independent producers. And it's difficult, I think, for her to organize them in a way that, again, is reliable from a revenue-generating standpoint. That's the best way I could couch it. So there's a lot of question marks I have about just the structure of the program. I think it could be more polished. I think that there could be a more reliable model put in place. And I still question whether, because of the constituents, that there's really a likelihood that she'll ever have a unit that is prosperous. She, I think, is always going to be treading water at best, the way the model is orchestrated at the moment. Now, it could expand and grow into something more significant. I want to help her envision that. That's why I've asked her to create a strategic plan to support that notion of growth and opportunity. And so that's what we're waiting for. But there really isn't much on the docket as yet from her, other than I think she had a podcast idea, and I pushed back on that. And it's very clear, podcasting is a hard enterprise to make money. She also had a whole avenue of underwriting that she thought she could do at a national level. And again, based on the stations that she's working with, and let's not forget Pacifica's own issues or ethos around underwriting, that I thought that that was not only not consistent with who we are, according to how we identify our not being corporate oriented, not doing underwriting at all, more importantly, that it wasn't consistent with where we are right now. And so therefore, I really couldn't count it as a growth strategy. So there's a lot out there to be looked at. And that's why we're reanalyzing, reassessing this desire to be an independent unit. Again, I think it's a worthwhile conversation. I want to support her as much as we can. And I think she represents a department currently within the national office that can be fine-tuned and made to operate more efficiently and effectively. I'll leave it at that for now.
This is Grace for the stack. Go ahead, Grace.
And Jan for the stack.
Yeah, I have a comment. I just have a comment. The first thing is the PNB passed a resolution stating that the affiliate program should be a separate unit. That should be understood. The next thing is, from my understanding, Ursula has run the affiliate network for many years. It's been pretty stable finance-wise. The income has been stable. The program has been stable. Although the income from the program is modest, the effect is amazing. We get into all the nooks and crannies of all the red state and purple state areas. It strengthens our brand, the Pacifica brand. It makes us basically ubiquitous. We have the most profound reach, progressive reach in this country. So, as I say, my experience with the affiliate network is at least 10 years long, and I don't think that I'm sure it could be enhanced, but I don't think it should be overhauled because it's not a failing unit. It's a unit that's been stable, productive, pretty trouble-free for the rest of the foundation, and as I mentioned, of extreme value to progressive, transmitting progressive values into areas that would not otherwise have the Pacifica materials.
Yeah, let me just respond real quick, with all due respect, Grace. Pacifica doesn't own any national programming. And what the affiliates program really does is it allows the affiliates to exchange programs with each other under this sort of halo of Pacifica. But in fact, very little of our programs are part of the syndication, if you will, that happens through the affiliates program. So this notion that the Pacifica brand and our progressive notion of the kind of media we create is, you know, spread throughout the middle of America, I think is an exaggeration. And I would imagine if you did a calculus on the audience that we actually reach with the stations that are in her membership, it would probably be less than 100,000 people. It's a very, I'm talking, when you look at the stations, and again, a lot of these types of stations were part of my membership in NFCB. Some of them are extremely valuable in their small rural communities. Others are like, you know, internet-only shops that have, you know, less than 100 people listening. So I just think we need to be very careful to, with an exaggerated notion of what this program is doing for the brand and what it actually represents. I think it has been sustainable because it has been under Pacifica that has not done real strong financials in quite a while to identify exactly what the financial picture is. And again, we're going through it with her now. And Netta has some questions. There's a notion that there's $200,000 of revenue that was generated last year. We're only able to account for half of that. So let's, you know, I think we need to be guarded. And one of the reasons why I push back on the board's approval is not to be spiteful or difficult or against the notion of the PMB. I don't think this was a deeply informed vote. I don't think that was a deeply informed decision. And we have an opportunity with Netta on board doing financial management and accounting to assess this unit or this division properly, deeply, richly in the context of the whole organization and come to a conclusion as to whether it being a separate unit is worthwhile from a revenue standpoint, from a branding standpoint, from an actual effect standpoint. And I think the jury's out on that right now.
A reminder, this is an open meeting.
I'm not saying anything that's derogatory about the affiliates.
Just a reminder.
I appreciate that, but I want to make it very clear. I value who she reaches. I just don't think we need to exaggerate the impact because right now, I would argue it's quite small because we don't have national programming.
Tom through the stack.
Robin through the stack, please.
Okay, Jan, then Tom, then Robin. Jan, go ahead.
Okay, I'll be brief. I'm looking forward to having the financials done because it's been my impression that the affiliate program has actually not only supported itself but also helped support Pacifica to a great extent. Maybe that's not happening anymore. As for national programming, the Democracy Now, of course, now it's not presently our, quote, ours, but it is one of the things that is national and is sent out to many, if not most, of the affiliates. And most of all, I am really looking forward to us having more programs that we push nationally and also with the affiliates. And I'm hoping that we can do something that actually utilizes Pacifica as a network, you know, in our five stations, but also try to, you know, generate programs that affiliates pick up, and maybe we should could be picking up some of their programs too. Thank you. And so I'm really happy about this process and happy that Robin and Gary are really pushing forward on it. Thank you.
Tom?
I would like to be on stack.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah, the purpose of the affiliates, in my mind at least, is to spread information, irregardless of anything else. And it's done a terrific job at that, as long as I've been around Pacifica since the 60s, although the affiliates haven't. But in any case, it does that. The affiliates are at least self-sustaining. My impression is that the money that it brings in from the affiliates is more than it needs to be self-sustaining, and that excess that it brings in has been supported Pacifica in general, is my understanding. So Again, the purpose is to spread, the overall purpose is to spread information. Yes, there are some stations that don't pay anything or pay a reduced rate, but that's to aid this spreading progressive information around and the access to it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, let me just address a couple of things real quick.
Hey, please ask to be on the stack.
Oh, I'll let you speak after me if that's okay. I just wanted to respond.
Daxi is answering people's questions.
I'm answering. That's why I wanted to interject right now. There's two factors to the excess income, the extra income, if you will, beyond the expenses that Ursula's division incurred. Part of it was to be a piggy bank for the national office in times when cash flow was low. The other value was, I believe it was established so that it could pay for the expense of the CFO. So those are two things that, you know, we're assessing whether that is actually part of the equation. We know that's what it was originally. I won't say originally, but I know from the notes we've seen that was the game plan, the strategy behind it. The question is it in a position to viably do that? Because as I said, when we're doing our analysis of the budget, the last conversation I had with the folks at NEDA was that there's some question marks about the income that was reported. So again, I'm not saying it's not accurate. I'm saying there were some questions, and we were just asking Ursula and her financial manager to verify or to give us an accurate understanding.
Okay, thank you. Robin, your next question or comment?
Okay, one thing that I'm just kind of really upset about is to say that the whole listenership of 218 affiliates is 100,000 people. That is absurd. There's more than that in New Mexico alone.
Do you have actual data to support that?
Well, part of the problem is many of these stations are not Nielsen-rated stations, but to make the statement, affiliates, don't interrupt me, Maxie, please. Please.
Okay.
I mean, Maxie does not understand the affiliate network at all. The affiliate network puts more into Pacifica than Pacifica puts into the affiliate network. There is so many programs that are produced that actually Pacifica picks up. And we do play every...
Robin, I'm going to stop you. That's out of order.
Okay.
Maxie has been talking with NEDA to try to understand the financials. And you have too.
I'm talking about this idea that there's only 100,000 listeners in the network. That is crazy.
Madam Chair, point of order. Not only is this gentleman out of order, but he's disrespecting the executive director, and you've always tried to call folks.
Dwayne, point of order is dilatory. I just made that point of order. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Robin.
All I'm trying to say is that very few people in the board really understand the affiliate network. It is an amazing group of people that have been put together by Ursula, and the value of it is incalculable. The number of independent producers she's brought in that all these different stations use and Pacifica uses is amazing. And I have never heard that the purpose of the affiliate network was to pay for the chief financial officer of Pacifica. That's just flabbergasting to me. I have never heard that really the accounting in the affiliates is probably better than any part of Pacifica, from what I understand. I'm flabbergasted. Anyway, I better shut up. I'm very...
Well, let me respond, Robin, because you make some good points. Let me just say this. You are absolutely right that the accounting has been solid. I think we recognize that, but there were some questions with the last budget, and in particular, her projections, Ursula's projections. So you're right. We don't question at all Ursula's accountability in terms of managing the affiliates program. And if it sounds like I have no respect for the program, that's absolutely incorrect. And I'll prove that to everyone on this call who's part of the board when I share with you the proposal that I forwarded to her. I absolutely feel like there is a robust opportunity for the affiliates program to complement what Pacifica is, far beyond what we're looking at right now. But what I'm arguing is that can be done as a department. It doesn't need to be a separate unit because I don't see the revenue structure justifying it being its own department or its own unit. There's nothing NEDA has seen and there's nothing I have seen yet that makes us feel that by being an independent department or unit, that the affiliates program will be able to operate more effectively or efficiently or have more value from a public service standpoint to the 220 plus affiliates as a division, as a unit, more so than it has as a department, if the national office gives it the time and attention and support it needs. And that's what the argument is. If we can support it robustly and richly, and that's what my plan is, I think you'll see that the relationship that Ursula has with the national office will be dramatically improved. She has a bitterness towards the national office. She has a bitterness to how she's been treated, and I don't disagree with it. It's her perception, and I have to treat it as reality, okay? But let's be real clear. I used to be the president and CEO of NFCB. I know the stations she hits, that she reaches, and I respect those stations because I know the impact they have on a local level. So do not misconstrue my words to give this impression that I don't respect who she's reaching. I do think we over-exaggerate the impact, though, because I also know that many of those stations, their audiences are well below hundreds, 1,000 people. And so, and I also know that a lot of her membership is independent producers. They don't even have stations. I know that a lot of them are independent website services. Again, small audiences. Is there no value? I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying let's not get exaggerated about how many people. We're not talking about millions of listeners listening to the programming that goes back and forth with the affiliates. If we can prove otherwise, I'd love to be proved wrong. It would give me a very different perception of the program and its potential, its impact now and hopefully in the future. But right now, I've seen nothing and don't know anything that would support that.
Madam Chair, request for information.
Oh, this is Nancy.
Request for information.
All right, so just a minute. So I'm wondering if Maxie and Robin are talking about maybe two different things. The listening area certainly has millions of people, but whether
Absolutely.
Or not those people are listening is a different thing.
That's correct.
And
that's
I think
correct.
That you're, Robin, you're talking about the listening area, and Maxie is talking about the listenership.
Actual audience. You're correct.
Madam Chair,
the potential is the listening area, which is really big, which you're
request
right about. Okay. Who?
Mansour was on.
Dwayne, okay.
Bill had a point of order.
Madam Chair, request for information.
What's our time? Oops.
How much time is left in this item, timekeeper?
That was my point. And we have an executive meeting, say executive session coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
We haven't gotten to the audit committee.
Well, let me, Madam Chair, if you will.
We're going to talk about the two proposed cost-cutting measures that we all want to hear about.
I think it's
this
important.
This was supposed to be question and answer, Madam Chair, and I have a question.
What's your question? What's your request for information, Dwayne?
My request for information is, number one, is there any empirical evidence, studies done, or anything written to substantiate this so-called breakoff for this independence? Second, has there been any turnover with referring to Ursula? Has she always been in control? Has there been other individuals who have had the opportunity to manage or wanted to manage? And third, Well, let's just get the answer to the two, because I believe it's germane.
All right. That you're jumping. Actually, you're jumping back to ask Maxie questions, and that's not what a request for information is for. A request.
Well, they're going back and forth debating each other about the importance of such, and I'm asking, what is it based on? Is it based on empirical information? Has there been a study done? Do they have proof that this is a viable? Although the PNB has approved an motion to do so, what is it based on?
Let me just answer. Let me answer real quick.
Okay,
Duane, if I can answer real quickly.
Wait, Maxie, let me.
Yeah,
Duane, Maxie said this before that the he's looking into the sustainability of the affiliates being a separate unit. He's looking into getting those figures that you just asked for, and he mentioned that in the beginning of this discussion. And they're getting it right now.
So the PNB passed the motion without even having evidence of the necessity or the need for such a motion.
Dwayne, that's already been pointed out, yes.
Well, that's William, not unusual, but thank you. I deduce. That's what they do all the time.
Let me finish my report, if I may. I think I have some good news at the end of it that will hopefully make people feel good.
I'd like Matthew to finish his report before we take any more questions.
And I'll try to whiz through.
Let me
just say the cost-cutting pieces, first of all, we're looking at eliminating a contract with Orbital Media. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it would save us roughly $3,000 a month. We're looking into whether breaking the lease has a fee to it and what that would be and what would entail with that. And we're looking for redundancy with respect to the KU band left and right satellite channels that the Orbital Media leases to us. So that's number one, about $3,000 per month cost savings. The second one is double that, $6,000 a month if we close the national office and go virtual. So we're looking at what the variables are with respect to that. Which documents primarily employ would need to be digitized. I mentioned that earlier when I talked about Netta. There are three storage options on the table, short-term, long-term, and things that need to be shredded because they're not something that we have to maintain. And so we're looking at, you know, is KPFA an option for short-term storage? Do we need to rent a storage facility for things that would be more long-term? But we will do a full analysis of the cost and the viability of this option and present that to the board for consideration, obviously. But it's about a $6,000 a month nut that we pay by maintaining an office that only has 1.5 persons in it. The next thing I'll move on to is information about the LSB election, just updating that. I think you all know we hit quorum. There's just some anecdotal data that I wanted to highlight that I thought was compelling. I shared this with the I think it was the Finance Committee the other night. There were 13,000 paper ballots sent out. Only 1,000 were returned. That's 8%. And they cost $37.11 each when you do the math on the expense for paper balloting and the return that we got on it. On the converse, the e-balloting system, 29,000 were sent out, 4,682 were returned, and 18% returned. So you see a double, more than double the return rate. But more importantly, the cost for each of those e-ballots was $2.75 each. So you're talking a catastrophic difference, monumental difference, I should say, in terms of the cost per e-ballot versus paper ballot and the effectiveness. So I just wanted that to be in your minds moving forward as we continue to assess. And, of course, we'll get a final report from the NES on the elections themselves, but I thought that was just fascinating information. We will have a final assessment of all the costs involved. We know we're at about $154,000, but we have not included the attorney fees in that equation, and ALMA, the second NES, used the attorney quite a bit, Ford Green. And so we have to calculate that into the equation before we have final numbers And we're also getting a number that was requested, and that has to do with what costs were incurred by extending the elections further. So I anticipate we'll be close to $200,000 for the election process. We all know, and the last thing I'll say about the elections is that the NES will release final results and election survey results together with her final report sometime between tomorrow and the 20th of March. I want to thank Renee Penaloza. I want to thank John Tatum, and I want to thank Kiani Bria, who were the last three standing to execute and finalize the election process. They all deserve a round of applause for staying through the course and finishing this up in as timely a manner as we could afford, considering all the dynamics involved. I'm going to skip future business that I wanted to talk about and just tell you about a visit that I had at Democracy Now! I was in New York last week. I met with the team at Democracy Now! As well as WBA. I went there to talk to them about some of the concerns that were expressed by our PDs and general managers about their programming and the fact that it's difficult for us to fundraise on the show at this point. They were gracious in saying that they too had an agenda and wanted to articulate their issue before I could speak to mine. And so I yielded, obviously being on their home court. So I'm going to pull up a document that they shared with me. I want to set it up by saying that the first thing they said to me is that they said, in honor of new leadership at Pacifica and our continued support of Pacifica and community radio, they then read the following letter. And I have a digital copy of this that I'm going to share with the members of the board immediately following. It says, Dear Mr. Jackson, in October 2018, the Democracy Now! Board of Directors voted unanimously to forgive the Pacifica Foundation's outstanding broadcast fees past due balance of $2,361,828. This amount, as reported to Regalia and Associates CPA at your request in August 2017, represents the full balance of past due broadcast fees. It does not include any receivables currently due from Pacifica stations for fund drive premiums for which payment is full in full is due immediately. This decision applies to the past due balance only and should not be construed in any way as a term of precedent for any future contracts between Democracy Now! And the Pacifica Foundation. Democracy Now! Will continue to support the Pacifica Foundation through on-air pitching and fundraising events as we have been to date. We remain steadfast in support of Pacifica's independent media mission, and we are hopeful that the elimination of this debt will assist the Pacifica Foundation in achieving long-term financial sustainability. Please feel free to contact me with any questions. Sincerely, Miriam Barnard, Director of Finance and Operations, Democracy Now! So I thought that was news that I should share with you. It's obviously great news. It should help us with respect to perhaps our credit report and maybe some other factors, but I wanted you all to be aware that we have been gifted in that manner. Last thing I wanted to share are just a couple final thoughts. Central service payments to the national office, only two of the five units are current. We are in the rears, or we are owed $223,000 at the national office just from the units. I need the members of the LSB and the PNB to emphasize payment of central services at the station level. And I would argue that a change in the method to the way that we do central services needs to be strongly considered because right now it is an option, which I think puts the national office in peril at times, at least with cash flow. The other thing that should be noted is that the fund drives have not been successful across the entire network, and we'll have a report demonstrating that shortly. None of them reached their goals. This PMB must come to terms with the fact that our current funding model is unsustainable. Underwriting in my opinion, must be considered for all units. I'm recommending the PNB create policy to project Pacifica guidelines. Number one, greater public can richly inform this policy with industry standards. Number two, Pacifica's non-corporate ethos must be and can be enforced. And three, this horse is already out of the barn. Stations throughout Pacifica are engaging in sponsorship that leave us vulnerable to FCC CPB compliance issues if we don't keep them in check. And secondly, programmers are engaging in promotion. I stream all of our stations throughout the week, and I hear versions or variations on underwriting that are going on across the system, and we're missing out on revenue that could be ours, and we've had great exposure to what the virtues of underwriting are and how it can be done in a way that is non-corporate, and I think it's time for the PNB to take up some serious thought on voting to create policy and let the stations decide if they want to proceed with application. So those are my final thoughts. I can take questions if so be it.
Dan Goodman, do we have time?
The stack. You know, we only have 15 more minutes, right?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So we have... In the agenda, we are supposed to go to, we're supposed to go to the executive session right now. So, please mute your phone. Sorry, Mr. Parliamentarian, there was noise coming from your mic.
Madam Chair, I'm talking in William here, Wagon phone, because I cannot speak in my own line. Why you put me like a timekeeper and I cannot speak in the last half an hour?
No, thank you. Thank you for getting with William. I didn't. Somehow you're muted. I did not do that. Okay.
Yeah, nobody does it. Yeah.
Okay, Adriana. I did not do it. I have no idea who did, but whoever did, please stop it.
Bill, request for information.
Someone is doing it. Okay, so we have to extend if we want to continue with this. Bill, what's your request for information?
Well, I'm not sure we need to go to executive session to approve the minutes because these have been out there for weeks, some for months, and I've not received any corrections. So can we approve them in an open session and so we don't have to do that?
We dealt with this last week. The answer is no. No,
but
we can't.
There were no corrections, though.
We answered your question last week. The answer was no. We have to do an executive session.
This is Grace. May I be recognized?
Yes, Grace. You want to extend time?
No. I think it's very important that we – I would like to make a motion to adjourn because I think it's extremely important that we approve the closed session minutes because the next meeting will most likely not include half of this board or some significant portion of this board. Therefore, it's important that we complete our work and we do that in a closed session tonight. So I move that we adjourn.
Okay. Is there any objection? Second, Carol seconds. Any objection? Okay, we are adjourned to executive session.